let's do that for Senator Orrock. We'll go to Senate Resolution 154. Senate Resolution 154. And I didn't see Senator Jackson. It's, oh, there you are over there. Hey, hide behind the post, Senator. We'll go. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. And Senator Jackson and I both are, our health committee has now launched its agenda for the afternoon. Appreciate the courtesy of Chairman Strickland. I'm very pleased to bring to you Senate Resolution 154 today. And I have two brief speakers in support of it from the Metro Chamber and the State Chamber. This is a Strengthening Georgia's Future Workforce, a joint study committee proposal that would put us on the pathway with the appropriate people on the study committee to work towards getting all the data and available information related to improving the workforce available to our economy through setting up a needs-based financial aid program in Georgia. We are proud of the long success of the HOPE scholarship, and that is a merit-based scholarship. You have to, you know, have high achievement consistently in order to qualify for either of the HOPE scholarships. This bill would take Georgia off the short list. There are two states in the country that don't have a needs-based scholarship program. That's Georgia and New Hampshire, oddly enough. I think there's a broad consensus that's been growing since Chancellor Huckabee called for us to take up this task of creating a needs-based scholarship program. In his days, as he approached retirement, he said, this is one of the most important things that we could do for Georgia for our next generation of students. And so this bill, passing this study committee bill, allowing us to create this process over the interim to build a consensus on how we fund and administer financial aid. It's based on people's needs as opposed to their grades. That's what we would do here. And I yield for any questions. I appreciate the input from the chairman, who's, we've had an opportunity to talk about this, and he's got a long experience in higher ed issues. And I really appreciated the courtesy extended by Chairman Martin to discuss this prior to bringing it to the committee.
Thank you, Senator. I'm glad you put issues at the end. I thought you were trying to tell people I spent a lot of time doing my, you know, extra laps in college, a long time in higher ed. No, I appreciate it. Senator Orrock and I go back to 1996, Leadership Georgia, I believe is when we first met. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. I had just become, yes, that was several years ago. You do have a light flashing here, number one.
Hey, I've never been number one before. It feels kind of good. All right.
Be that way again.
Senator Orrock, if just a question about, I apologize, I hadn't followed the bills coming out of the Senate completely, but isn't there doesn't the constitutional amendment on gambling have a needs-based piece to that coming through?
Flagging that, because we were able to put language into that bill that provided that were the bill to be enacted for sports gambling, sports betting, that the language reads that half of those revenues would go towards needs-based scholarship program. Now that's in the hands of the House now, and were that to become law, this study committee could set up the apparatus, you know, could come with the recommendations next year to get us positioned to do exactly that with a portion of those revenues.
Okay, thank you so much. I just didn't know.
Thank you so much.
Number four. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And good afternoon, Senator. Welcome to the House High Ed Committee. My question is relating to, will there be opportunities for presidents of HBCUs to be a part of this study committee? Or can there be some study committee hearings held in a city that's housed a HBCU, like Fort Valley State University, for instance.
And that's an excellent suggestion. I just participated yesterday in a ceremony with the governor and lieutenant governor that Senator Halpern launched, recognizing HBCUs and the vital role that they play in our economy and in our education system, and the fact that Georgia has more HBCUs than any state in the union. There are, I believe, at least 12,500 employees of HBCUs, and the staff and administration in HBCUs clearly understands the need for need-based scholarship program in Georgia. And the speaker, there will be five members from the House, five from the Senate, with both majority and minority parties represented, and then others as the bill reads. And I think having hearings, Fort Valley State comes to mind, but that's to move around the state and get input and draw heavily on the knowledge base that the HBCUs represents. A great input. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Chairman Dickey, what number are you? 12? Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator, I'd like to remind you and others of this community that the state of Georgia does have a needs-based education program set up by Governor Deal called REACH. And a very, very good program that we fund. Local collaboration with local school systems. It's in 140 of 180 or maybe 160 now.
County.
School system, counties, does a very good job. It would be an excellent program to expand. But it's a wonderful program that I've got a real heart for, that I attend those signing ceremonies for those students in eighth grade that we do give scholarships to go to college or technical school. So I hope you'll look at our REACH program and support it.
Yes, sir, Chairman Dickey. And
could I respond to that, Representative Dickey? I learned as I worked on this on the Senate side about your long commitment to REACH. And one of the appointees is the president of the Georgia Student Finance Commission. And I know that there's work that's very seriously been undertaken for REACH 2.0. And it works perfectly, I think, with the direction of this resolution to get us to draw from the great examples that we've got, which are really, admittedly, pilots. It's designed in a certain sort of way. You know it better than I do, but we definitely felt it was critical to include the experience of REACH and the past and the future of REACH in tackling this problem and looking how we can do a broad program. Thank you.
Any further questions? Do we have any online? No further questions. You had somebody that wanted to speak. I think here we have those online, right?
That's right.
Okay, we're going to do that, and I'll give you back, Senator, the last word after the speakers, if that's satisfactory. In order, Ms. Rickman? You just have to go when you're ready.
Yes. Hi, good afternoon. Are you able to hear me?
We can.
Okay, great. Good afternoon. I am Dr. Dana Rickman. I'm the president of the Georgia Partnership for Excellence in Education. Chairman Martin, committee members, thank you very much for allowing me a few moments to speak this afternoon on Senate Resolution 154, focusing on strengthening Georgia's future workforce. This is an incredibly important bill, a resolution, and an incredibly important topic. For us at the partnership, we frequently cite the work of the Southern Regional Education Board. They did a 2030 report sort of sounding the alarm for worker displacement in Georgia over the next 10 years. The pandemic and related industry adjustments accelerated a timeline and an urgency of a response to our changing economic needs. Georgia's efforts to develop reskilling, upskilling, and professional development programs are more important than ever. A recent jobs report by SREB said, and here I'm quoting, automation in tandem with the COVID-19 recession is creating a double disruption scenario for workers. In addition to the current disruption from the pandemic-induced lockdowns and economic contractions, technological adoption by companies will transform tasks, jobs and skills by 2025. 43% of businesses surveyed indicate that they are set to reduce their workforce due to technological integration. 41% plan to expand their use of contractor for task-specialized work, and 34% plan to expand their workforce due to technological integration. And so we're seeing a big shift in the skills that are needed of our workforce. The Georgia Partnership for Excellence in Education, we have devoted our last two editions of our top 10 issues to watch around this looming sort of workforce economic development crisis that is facing Georgia and the role a strong education and a strong educational system can play in addressing it. Our 2020 edition really focused on the following three facts I want to highlight for you. Only 40% of Georgia's adult population has at least an associate's degree. More than 60% of students currently enrolled in our K-12 public system come from low-income families. You sort of couple that with currently about 42% of those entering the university system of Georgia receive a Pell Grant. And so they, you know, qualify as low-income. And we have, there's a 24 percentage point gap in the six-year graduation rate between our wealthiest students, which their graduation rate's around 70% in 6 years, and our poorest students, their graduation rate are only about 46% over 6 years. And so there's no doubt that the educational attainment of a state's population, its workforce, is critical to supporting its economic development goals. Research from SRAB has really indicated that by 2030, if a state and business leaders don't act, Georgia is looking at about 1.5 million workers and their children could be unemployed or stuck in low-wage jobs in an endless cycle of poverty. And this was all before the pandemic and economic crisis that hit last year. And so our current 2021 top 10 issues really looks at that same approach of what do we need to be doing for a strong educational system, for a strong workforce pipeline, and outline the long-term recommendations aimed at these issues to promote an inclusive economic recovery. The cost of post-secondary has become even more of a barrier in the past year than it already was. As we talk about in our top 10, we cite a nationally representative sample of more than 4,000 undergraduate students conducted in the fall of 2020. And it found that fewer than one in five current college students strongly agreed that their education is going to be worth the cost that they're currently paying. More than half of the 2020 high school graduating class changed their college-going plans, 40% of which said they did so now not being able to afford college. And then one last thing I want to end on is a couple of years ago, for those of you who are familiar with the Georgia Partnership, we did a bunch of research on best practices and education policies of all high-performing countries and high-performing states. What did they all have in common? Mm-hmm. Based on that research and recommendations, we formed the EdQuest Georgia Coalition, which now consists of over 40 Georgia-based organizations, educators, advocates, business leaders, such as the Metro Chamber and the Georgia Chamber of Commerce, and working together to move a policy platform aimed at making Georgia a top-performing state in education. Our post-secondary access subgroup updated our clear pathways to post-secondary access policy recommendations this past fall based on the pandemic and economic fallout. Among the urgent recommendations really was to address the funding and affordability and equal access to post-secondary and expanding the financial aid options that we have. And so if you look across the country, 46 of the 100 largest state financial aid programs are dispersed on the basis of need, financial need alone. The 9 programs that specify an estimated family contribution, an EFC maximum in statute or regulation, the average maximum of the EFC is around $4,400 to give you guys some sort of reference and some guidance of the type of aid that we're talking about. And so it's our position that really articulating a statewide needs-based aid program will go a long way toward ensuring that our next generation workforce needs are being met and meet our economic development needs as well. Thank you for your time, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you. I suspect we'll have some. I'm going to invite you back, if I can, just given the time schedule we're on, because of the rules that call me late, that the senators have to go. But if we can do that, if we can have you back at a later date, and we'll hold our questions at that time. But thank you, Doctor, for being there. The next speaker Miss Amy Lancaster. Amy, I know you probably have a great topics to add as well, but I'm going to ask you to be brief, as I know the senators have a meeting to get to, and we will also invite you back. I'll invite you back sight unheard, because we've talked before, and I know you have a lot to say on this issue.
Thank you. I appreciate it, and I will be brief. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, Chairman Martin and members of the committee. I'm Amy Lancaster King, Senior Director of Workforce Development for the Metro Atlanta Chamber, and here to speak also in favor of Senate Resolution 154. We all know Georgia is the number one place to do business. Despite challenges of COVID, we continue to see record number announcements like Microsoft Software Development Center, 1,500 jobs, Deluxe FinTech Innovation Center, 700 jobs, Invesco Corporate Headquarters, 500 jobs. With regular announcements like these, it's not surprising that the demand for Georgia's talent is outpacing the nation. But our education rates, attainment rates, fall behind the national average. Between 2016 and 2020, over 45% of Georgia job postings required a bachelor's degree, and over 60% required an associate's degree or higher. Despite the success of Hope Scholarship to retain talent in the state, Georgia will need more than Hope to fulfill our workforce needs. With a state median income of $58,700, you can see why Hope isn't helping a lot of college students. In USG, more than 90% of the students with family income greater than $120,000 were receiving either Hope or Zell Miller, and 30% of those students from higher income families were receiving Zell Miller. Compare that to just 10% of families with family income less than $30,000 receiving Zell Miller. However, these low-income students are putting in the effort, and they are working hard to pursue their education. According to a 2018 survey of over 8,000 Georgia College students, 54% of these students from Georgia colleges and universities are experiencing some form of basic needs insecurity. So that's housing insecurity, including homelessness, or food insecurity. About 60% of the students surveyed are actually working. So an employed students work an average of 24 hours per week. They also found that the students that work the most hours are the same students most likely to experience food and or housing insecurity or homelessness. And 13% of students have children of their own. So no wonder students from more secure family financial backgrounds are more likely to graduate from college. An increased education attainment means higher earnings for individuals and the state. And the more education you have, the lower your risk of being unemployed or needing supportive services. Georgia is one of only two states without a robust state-sponsored need-based aid program. We are at a point where we can't afford not to invest in more students to ensure we can meet our workforce needs and retain our position as the number one place to do business. Thank you for your time, Chairman Martin and committee members. I'm happy to come back and answer any questions you may have.
Well, we're gonna invite you back. I do have a light flashing, number 16. You look like you're right here. Is that you, Mr. Chairman? Did you press the button by mistake?
No, I pressed it on purpose.
Well, you have.
Didn't you?
Yeah, I am.
I fell behind the mask if you were ready to go.
Yeah, I am 16.
Dean of the House, Chairman Spirey.
I just want to say to the office of the ORAC that this is a good bill, because what it does, because of the downslope of the federal funding and the upscale of tuition and the lowering of the scale in Georgia on need base, which those students that need it the most. And I think that what you're getting at is that workforce development, because it's proven that if you have more education, then more income kicks in. And I think that would be, from that perspective, I think it would bode well. So I think this is a good step in the right direction, because when we started Hope, it was based on need-based, and then over the course of all the years, that's been an evolution and a transformation of it. But to me, having some sort of committee like this to go around the state and gather information, I think it gives us grounds to come back and say and do something as it relates to and do it comprehensively. Yeah.
When I look around the room, are the only two people that were here when we passed Hope.
Yeah.
In its original form.
We turned on ourselves, yes,
that's
ma'am.
Right. But thank you for your comments, and I appreciate hearing from the Metro Chamber as well as the Georgia Partnership. I would any further questions, happy to ask, but hope that we can move this forward and appreciate the committee's input. Thank you,
Senator. We're going to do this. Here's what we're going to do with this. We keep the matter.